Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us your fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, it instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit. Grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Father Lanteri.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius Loyola.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Father.
Hopefully you can hear me there and back. Often there was a priest that was trying out the microphone in the church, and he said, there's something wrong with this mic, and the people said, and also with you.
We wait
up now. Okay. You heard that, right? Okay. If you say that there's something wrong with me, I'll say, I know, original sin, right? There was a story in the Orange County Register a few years ago about this woman. She was married four times. How about that? But because her husband died three times. So don't judge and condemn, okay? So they're interviewing her, and each of her husbands was very different. And so they were asking, well, who were your husbands? He said the first one was a wealthy businessman that worked on Wall Street. The second worked on Barnum and Bailey Three Ring Circus. The third was a pastor. And the fourth was a funeral director. So they asked her why four personalities were so different. And she said, one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. That's pure American culture, okay, right? One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go, huh? You know, when they ask us to visit hospitals, they see the priest come dressed in black, they're afraid of us, no? And they say, I'm not the undertaker, I'm the upper taker. So we've arrived at the end of the journey of this course, however, the beginning of the journey of a new life. Amen?
Amen.
The end of this 10-week pilgrimage, but we start a new life with this. So this week we're going to be celebrating the resurrection. So you move from the passion, death, to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So there's kind of it's called the entirety of the Paschal mystery, passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. So we've got the fully blossomed seed through the resurrection of Christ, which of course is the foundation of our Catholic faith is the resurrection. Paul says if Christ is not risen from the dead, everything is in vain if he's not risen from the dead. But if he is risen from the dead, it radically changes the whole world as well as our life individually. So I'd like to give you the fruit of this week, and then I'd like also to give you an Easter contemplation, and I'll leave you in good hands, okay, with your facilitators. However, it has to be said that I'd like to spend a couple minutes on what is called perseverance. In other words, perseverance, because if you do not have some concrete program or strategy after this, hopefully no one will take offense at what I'm going to say now, but I have to say, you're probably not going to persevere. If you do, I would be surprised, no? Because this program is very demanding, right? I'm not going to lie, this program is the most demanding program you've ever had in your life, and I've asked my friends, should I lower the bar, and they grimace at me, okay? In other words, they don't even think about it, right, Eric?
Right.
Mary? I'm not going to lower the bar, but rather we're going to keep it high. So you have to persevere. You have to persevere. Having played a lot of sports, cross country is a good idea. You're gonna run in those two and a half to 3 miles. You gotta gut it out. You gotta persevere. It's tough work. No. Hitting the hills when you're already out of breath. No, but you gotta persevere. So you have to persevere, in the program that we've set out for you. We have the bar very high. Okay, let's talk about the contrary. If you don't persevere, are you listening to me?
Yes.
Yes.
You're gonna go back to mediocrity. Okay. You're gonna be a mediocre Catholic, as you probably were before you did the exercises. No. And I don't know about you. For me, that's appalling. The problem in the church is just, the church is filled with mediocre Catholics, no? Catholics that are just living their faith to the minimum, no? So this program is to help to inject within us the fire of the Holy Spirit and enthusiasm, which we want to go beyond the mediocrity. Any of you English majors, one of the greatest writers last century, his name was T.S. Eliot, okay? Who wrote Wasteland, and one of his one-liners I've always liked is he said, the world will not go out with a bang, but with a whimper. Oh. Kind of like that, no? Not with a boom or a bang, but with a whimper. We don't want to be whimpering out of these exercises, right? We want to be on fire. So these exercises are meant to start fires. Amen?
Amen.
Over the past 2 weeks, one of my prayers has been, I've been begging the Lord the grace to start fires. That's been my prayer. Okay? So I go in front of the Blessed Sacrament, I'm begging the Lord, I want to start fires. And I tell the Lord, okay, maybe they're not conflagrations like the California fires that you have from San Diego all the way up to Ventura County, maybe not that, no? But my intention is to start a lot of little fires like this. And then these fires will extend, no? And I'm praying for the grace to put out fires. What does that mean? You got it. Put out fires, the general confession. So I like to start fires and I like to put out fire. Would all of you like to be firemen like me?
Yes.
Want to join the fireman club of Father Broom?
Yes.
So maybe that will be one of your intentions, to start fires. Start it on a small level and then it'll expand, okay? And put out the ugly fires of sin. Amen?
Amen.
So perseverance. Do you remember the last verse of the gospel today? Remember? Alan?
I don't remember exactly.
It seems to be almost out of place, but nothing's out of place with the Lord. He says, by your perseverance you will save your souls. Now remember it?
Yeah.
So by your perseverance you will save your souls. So let me give you some practical advice on how you can persevere. Okay, the first is we invite you, you can go back in and you can do the exercises again, okay? If you come to the exercise every time, and I see you every time, I'm always happy to see you. Okay? And there's some who have made it many times. It's always good to see you again. You're always welcome to come again. And maybe you don't know, is that your meditations this time, you're the first group that got the new meditations, okay? So this is the second series. We'll maybe call one A or B, but with the help of Mary, it probably took a year for me to. So the meditations, you have the commentary. It took me probably about a year to write. I know as a writer, ask Father Tim. Father Tim was giving a retreat now in Spanish. I remember once talking to him. Father Tim is an oblate. He's a friend. He used to be my spiritual director. He said by far the most demanding thing is writing. Okay? Any professional writers here? Now writing well, it's a lot of work, no? You gotta write it, and then you gotta rewrite it, you gotta chip it, and then you gotta give it to the editor, and then you have to send it back to you. This has to be corrected, no? Writing is not easy, no? And what I wrote for you people is not published yet. Someone this morning said, Father, you should really publish this. So we're looking into it. But so you're the first group that has the new meditations. So in a certain sense, you're the pioneers of this new experience. And come back and do the exercise again. Do them again. Now even if I were to just give the same biblical passage and the commentary. What's your comment, Mary? You give a good response.
People ask me, are you going to have the same meditations? And I say yes. And we're going to have the same Bible, too.
Bible. Yeah, the same Bible, too.
The Bible always speaks to us new.
It's a great response.
Every time we pick it up.
Because, if you read the Bible, for example, my homily today at the Confirmation Mass, I've never given a homily like that. I was just moved by the second reading. The second reading talked about work. And it just motivated me to talk to Confirmation students about work. And that came through meditation. And I said that I'm really thankful. I'm thankful for the fact that I like to work, and those who know me, I'm not afraid to work. Okay? Eric and Mary work with me know that I'm not afraid to work. I put in long days, no? And I like it, and I end the day exhausted. Okay? As they say in Spanish, caigo como un ladrillo en la cama, no? I fall like a brick in the bed. Okay? But, for example, the thought occurred to me, okay, Why is it that you like to work? I was born with original sin, and one of the effects is laziness. I mean, I was born lazy. We're all born with sloth, no? But the thought occurred to me, why not tell the confirmation students, tell them three stories of what happened in your family? So I was able to put together three-minute stories, and one was this. Is when I was in high school, like I never had my own room, you know? If you're one of nine, any of you have nine children here? Okay. Hello? You don't have your own room. Forget about it. You got to share. You have a bunk bed. You're going to fall out of it now and then. And you have to alternate. You're on the top. You're in the bottom. You get the guardrail. You knock it over and you fall. And a minor atomic bomb hits. And you wake up your brother, no? But I said that I had three beautiful examples. One is that in junior high school, in high school, junior high school and high school, I'm going to scandalize the young people here, but I hated to go to school. I know the young people, they love to go to school here, right? Got a couple of teenagers here, they love to go to school. You know, you know, I love Mondays because you go back to school, right? But I'll tell you what happened was, I shared my room with my older brother, and he'd go to school, then he had a paper route, we worked a little bit, delivering papers to make some money, and came back, and then had a little snack, and then basically hitting the books every day until 9 o'clock, then he had a little snack, and he hit the hay. And the fact that I always saw him doing that, how could I see him studying so hard and me sitting there doing nothing? So that motivated me to study. So it was the power of his example, no? Then he goes to high school, he goes to Dartmouth, summa cum laude, then Columbia Medical School, and now I see a pretty competent back surgeon in the past 30 years, no? But it was that example, no? And then at 8 years old, I didn't want to pray. But my mom went to the Black Rosary that they had in New York. Black Rosary means you go to different houses every week and you pray the rosary. So there he was. My mom said, why don't you come and pray the rosary with me? I don't want to do that. That's for viejitas, no? No. So I, come on along. And there I end up with these old ladies that are 32 years old, you know.
Thank you.
Have you arrived yet? Mm-hmm. Hey, when you're 8 years old, you know, 32 years old, you're ancient, right? But what I remember was them kneeling and praying the rosary, and they were like statues. And I had ants in my pants. Ants in my hormigas and mi pantalón, as they say. I mean, cucarachas maybe, no? But my pride kicked in. I saw all them praying so fervently, and I'm looking like this, and I'm going like this, and moving, squirming, no? Because of my pride, I didn't want to move, because they're going to say, who's that little devil there, no? But then after going two times, I actually started to like it. And after three times, I said, Mom, when are we going to go to pray the rosary? And after four times, I said, Mom, hey, let's go again. In other words, just a real love for the rosary, but it was because of another good example. No? Then the third was most teenagers and children, they love Saturdays, right? Because Saturday, you don't have to go to school, right? I used to hate Saturdays. You know why? Because my dad let us sleep an extra half an hour on Saturday. An extra half an hour. Maybe 40 minutes if he was in a good mood, okay? And he got us up, and my mom prepared a big, nice big American meal, pancakes and sausage. And after that, my dad, my boys, out to work. Dad, I've been working the whole week. This is baseball day, right, Ed? That's a day to play baseball. Now you got to work. Come on, Dad, now you got to work. And then what we'd have to do, we'd have to plant the new lawn that were spring there in Jersey. We'd have to cut the grass. Did any of you ever plant a lawn?
They need the cars.
You know what that is? You never done it here in California? You got to rake it out. You got to go to home base. You got to get this this white stuff. It's called cal in Spanish. Then you got to plant the seed. Then you got to water it. Okay, that we'd have to do that every spring. Then we'd have to cut the grass. And I thought, what an exercise in futility. Why plant the grass if you have to cut it? No? I mean, just using logic, no? Okay. And then we'd have to... Do any of you know what to Simonize a car means? Okay, if you're young, if you don't even know what to... Simonize the car, it's not wash the car, but to wax the car. That would take at least 7 or 8 hours. And you'd have to rub it in, no? Okay. And then, this would happen every Saturday. And my dad would say you'd have to work until 12 o'clock. Guess what happened at 12 o'clock? No. You say, okay, you can have lunch. Then after lunch, come back because we haven't finished yet. Come on, Dad. Look, it's 3:30, 4 o'clock. It's already, the sun is going down. When can we rest? Tomorrow, Sunday. But I'm thankful now because I really hated that. Now, I'm not afraid to work. And if you give me a long day work, sometimes it seems to be daunting. I look with fear and trepidation, but not afraid because of the three examples of my older brother, my mother, and my father. Amen?
Amen. Okay.
All that came through prayer. So you can be meditating, on something, and then you meditate upon another week, and you get a totally different interpretation. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So if you come back and do the exercise again, God is going to give you different insights. He will. Because you are not the same person you were a year ago, are you?
No.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, you were always changing. Hopefully for the better and not for the worst. And if it is for the worst, that's why we got confession. Amen? That's why we got confession. Thanks be to God, right? So that's the first thing. Second would be Friday night we have a very good group. It's called Perseverance. And we've had it for quite a few years. It's a relatively small group of people, but we'd like you to come. Okay? We'd like you to come. And what I've been doing over the past couple of years is I'm going through the diary of Saint Faustina. Okay? I'm going through the diary of Saint Faustina. I'm explaining it just one number at a time. And I don't think I've ever given a class where I don't end with a lot of consolation. And I got a lot of insights in explaining that spiritual masterpiece. So I invite you to come to that, okay? You can buy the diary. If you don't have the diary, Mary will usually give you a photocopy of the numbers. And usually I take one or two numbers because what I do is I go through it very slowly, just relishing that text.
What is the time?
7:30. So 7:30, and it's usually, I'm pretty much on the dot. The talk is usually from 57 to 62 minutes. I'm usually pretty precise, you know? Finish about 8:30. But it's really worth it because that will help you to pray. Okay, that's really going to help you to persevere in prayer. So that's another option. Okay, the third is this. We invite you to do an Ignatian retreat. An Ignatian retreat in addition to what we're doing now, to do an Ignatian retreat where you go to a retreat house. Okay. For example, tomorrow I'm going off for almost a whole week to give a retreat in Alhambra. Carmelite Sisters of the Sacred Heart. We've been organizing this about the past 6 months. And we got a full house. We got about 63 people, as well as the spiritual director. So this is it's a four-day retreat. It's a four-day retreat. Okay, but we'll tell you this now. We don't have the registration forms yet, but over the past 11 years, I think it is, over the past 11 years, we've been giving an eight-day retreat. In that eight-day retreat, we've been giving it always the last week of July, okay? Which finishes almost always right around the feast day of St. Ignatius, which is July 31st, okay? So the last week of July. So you might already put that on your calendar, put that on your agenda, and already plan for that eight-day retreat. Do any of you ever go on vacation?
Yeah.
How much money do you spend? You go on maybe a 10-day vacation. How much is the eight-day retreat, Mary?
Goes about $600 to $900, depending on private room, semi-private.
Okay, $600 to $900 for 8 days. It's not that much. You got three meals a day. You got spiritual direction. You got the mass. We give you photocopies. We give you talks. I mean, if you look at that, say for example you go to on vacation for 8 or 9 days, you're going to be spending four times as much, at least, and come back less holy. Okay. 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 Well, I got to be blunt, huh? You got to come back less holy, okay? Not more holy, but less holy. Huh?
Right.
You're on vacation to Las Vegas, you're going to come back, you know, filled with the devil, is probably almost, huh? if you're there for an eight-day retreat, your prayer life really goes deep. Because now you're meditating an hour a day in the midst of your work obligations. But there you had eight days to be able to spend the whole time in prayer, and the points that I give, the 4 half-hour talks, is all directed at helping you to pray better. And you have got the Blessed Sacrament exposed around the clock and the church right around the corner. And then we have all-night adoration one night, and we got the priest available to hear confessions. I mean, we kind of spoil you. And then even in the refectory where we eat, we put on Fulton Sheen, huh? Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
So the people actually leave their treat, they're speaking a more eloquent English at the end. Okay, so sign up. And I just to notify you, over the past 3 years, that eight-day retreat is often filled up within 2 months after we notify, right, Mary? So first come, first serve. We can't. There's limits. So I'll notify you now so that once we're aware of the exact time, we'll be able to send you an email and sign up. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, next is this. If you haven't given Mary your email, give your email, because I try to have a holy hour and a mass. I try to do it every week, every month, but maybe it's every other month. I try to do it when we got some free time. But it's good for you to come to that, because we expose the Blessed Sacrament, and we have a mass, and I try to hit the confessionals so you can dust yourself off and start a new life. So just make sure you give Mary your email. We'll shoot you a quick email notifying so that you can come to that. Okay, next is this. Right now we have with us great privilege. We have Father, right next to me now, we have Father Tim Gallagher, who is giving a course on Ignatian spirituality this whole weekend. Did any of you go yesterday to his presentation?
Yes.
How was it?
Beautiful.
He's good, isn't he?
Yes.
So Father Tim is a real blessing. Father Tim has been on EWTN for the past 20 years. Father Tim was our provincial for many years. Father Tim is a prolific writer. Father Tim is a real man of God. So we have his books. And if you can't get his books right now in the office, you can get his books. And his books are on all these topics. His books are on meditation. His books are on discernment. His books are on spiritual direction. His books are on the rules for discernment. His books are on how to discern your state of life. His books are on how to overcome desolation. All very timely topics for those who are pursuing Ignatian spirituality. And as you ask, what is our charism? Our charism is basically given the exercises, no? Father Tim wrote his doctoral thesis from the Gregorian on that topic in Italian. Oh, our founder, basic charism, our apostolate, is given the spiritual exercises. Could be the month retreat, the eight-day retreat. It could be annotation 19, which means you're doing your retreat in daily life for a whole year. Or my program, this is called annotation 19 also, my program, which is a 10-week exercise program, which I've tried to synthesize in 10 weeks the base Ignatian topics. So get Father Tam's books. And I would even give another pitch. You might even have enough courage to get my books too, okay? My last book is in the very heart of the exercises, because if you have it, Roadmap to Heaven, what it is it's kind of a summary of this program. And if you read it, that's Father Broome. Yeah, it is Father Broome, because it came from me, okay? But what it is, it's a plan of life. So we gave you a plan of life. We gave you a handout of two or three pages. That's more than 150 pages. So if you really want to live out your plan of life, I think that my book's a winner. Okay? I think that my book's a winner. So if you don't have that, you can buy that too. Okay? So part of our charism also as oblates is trying to promote good literature. Okay? Our charism is promoting. When our founder lived, he died in the year 1830. You didn't have radio or TV or the email. He didn't have it. You just basically had books and you had articles. So now, as we're sons of our founder today, we try to promote live stream and YouTube and radio and TV and articles, because that's what you have out there, no? I really believe Bishop Barron does a great job in it. Fulton Sheen was an expert, you know, 40 years ago. So utilize all the means you have to keep growing in your faith. I insist a lot upon permanent formation. Okay? Permanent formation is very important. Okay? In the professional life, any professionals here? You're a teacher, you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, you have to be constantly renewing yourself, right? I think I told this story that brother of mine that was motivating me by his good example. I saw him 3 months ago, and he had to pass another exam as a doctor. He's almost 65. You'd think enough, wouldn't you? But no, I mean, as a doctor, if you make mistakes, especially you're a surgeon, you're up the creek. I mean, you had a $40,000 probably lawsuit against you if you make a mistake as a doctor, okay, in this country, no? Malpractice, right? So We should be professional Catholics. Amen?
Amen.
Professional Catholics. Not rinky-dink, but professional Catholics, that we really know our faith. Someone comes up to you, asks you a question on moral theology. Someone asks you a question, well, I really believe that same-sex marriage is good. Okay, what are you going to say? Well, I have to ask Father Broom about that. Well, I can't be 1,000 plays in the same time. You have to respond too, okay? So these timely topics, you have to know, as a well-educated Catholic, how to respond to them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, next suggestion is this. Next suggestion is this. I'll use a baseball analogy. A baseball player has to have a manager and a coach. Okay, any of you know anything about baseball? You have a manager, like on the professional level, you have a manager, you have a pitching coach, you have a batting coach, you have a fielding coach, you have a coach of relievers, you have tons of coaches. And professional teams take these coaches very, very seriously, no? In other words, for example, if a batting coach can tell a hitter, okay, you have an uppercut, okay? You got to cut down on it. Instead of popping up, you're going to hit a line drive, okay? Right? Okay, that's baseball for you, okay? Okay? Or a pitcher. You know, your fastball has to have a little bit of movement on it. Otherwise, it's going to be home run. You got to have movement on it, okay? So if baseball players have to have coaches and managers, you have to have coaches and managers too. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that's what I was about to say. Are you a mind reader? Curandera? Julia la curandera. No.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Okay. All of you, if you take seriously your spiritual life, you have to have a spiritual director. Okay? There's just no way around it. If you do not have a spiritual director, you're not going to make it. You have to have a spiritual director. I have a superior, I have a confessor, I have a provincial, I have a spiritual. I've got four people that basically are directing me, and I'm in my mid-60s. I'm older than you, okay? Most of you, okay? You know, I'm not a spring chicken, no? But without that, it's very easy to be misled. Okay? And the higher you ascend in the spiritual life, the more subtle the temptations. Okay? I'll repeat.
Please.
Okay, the higher you ascend in the spiritual life, the more subtle are the temptations. I repeat again. When you ascend, the temptations are much more subtle than where you... Then you're a beginner, okay? I'll give you a one-liner. Often for me, in my spiritual life, it's difficult to discern between good, better, and best. I repeat, it's hard to discern between good, better, and best. Because as a priest, there's so much good we can do. So much good. There's a lot of pessimism out there, but I think it's a time which we can do a lot of good if we're walking with the Lord. As Charles Dickens says, the worst of times can be the best of times. Huh? The worst of times can be the best of times if we're walking with God. So if you don't have adequate spiritual direction, you arrive at a certain point where you're going to plateau, which means you're going to stagnate. But with proper spiritual direction, you can grow wings and you can fly high like an eagle. Example in the saints. Did Teresa of Avila have a director? Hello?
Yes.
No, she didn't. She had directors, plural. You know who her director was? John of the Cross. Who else? St. Peter Alcantara. Who else? St. Francis Borja. She had three saints that were spiritually directing her. And you who are experts in spiritual theology, who else was your director? Jerónimo Gracián, who was probably the most learned Dominican that lived back in the 15th century. Jerónimo Gracián was a brilliant, brilliant Dominican. Okay? Brilliant Dominican. So she had these people directing her. What would have happened if she didn't have that? You would not have the reform of the Carmelites. You would not have the spiritual masterpieces, the way of perfection, the life, and the interior castle, not to mention the many beautiful letters, okay? So it was through the intervention, the help of these spiritual directors. Okay, now, look at this picture. What's that? What is it?
The Sacred Heart of Jesus.
You ever see one of those?
Yes.
Any in the Philippines?
Yes.
How about Mexico?
Yes.
How about Vietnam?
Yes.
How about India?
Yes.
They're all over the place. That would not exist if Margaret Mary did not have a spiritual director. Any of you ever hear of Margaret Mary Margarita? It's not the thing you drink, the Margarita, no. St. Margaret Mary was the recipient of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. They would have thought that she was una loca, una chiflada. They would have think that she was crazy. She was hysterical, a visionary. So who gave her credit was St. Claude de la Colombière. Any of you see the movie of St. Faustina?
Yes.
How many of you saw it? Did you like it? If it were not for Blessed Michael Sopochko, you would not be looking at that, and you would not be reading the Diary of St. Faustina. What really hit me in that movie is how much that priest suffered to support the authenticity of those apparitions. I mean, he was nailed, no? I mean, there's one number where Jesus says to Faustina, you suffered, but I can't tell you how much Michael Sopocho suffered, much more than you. Hidden, silent suffering to promote divine mercy. Now, none of you are Margaret Mariella Cook and St. Faustina. But all of you are called to become saints, right?
Yes.
Amen or oh me?
Amen.
Amen or oh me?
Amen.
Okay. How are we going to make it to the heights of holiness if you don't have a director? Not going to make it. And I repeat, as you ascend in the spiritual life, the temptations are much more subtle. Give an example. Any of you ever hear of the Curia of Ars? Any of you? St. John Vianney, the patron of priests? He spent 15 hours a day for about 35 years hearing confessions. Imagine that, you're in the confessional for 15 hours for 35 years. Hard work, huh?
Yeah.
He's a saint. After he had been a priest for several years, heading toward the latter part of his priesthood, he had a thought. I've read the lives of the saints, and all the saints, they were men of prayer. I don't have too much time to pray, so I've got to leave the parish. I've got to go off to a monastery, and I've got to pray in reparation for my sins and for those of my penitents. Sounds like a good idea, right? Hello?
Yes.
Is it good to pray?
Yes.
Guess what he did? Bye, parish of ours. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And the people dragged him back. Got up a second time. I've got to do prayers and penance for my sins. Bye-bye. He tried to leave the third time. He recognized and he said, it was the devil. Yeah, it was the devil. That thought came from the devil. The devil motivated him to pray. Wow. Pobrecito de nosotros, yeah. If when the holiest priest in the history of the church was deceived, what about us? So that's what I'm saying. If you do not have a spiritual director, the devil is going to deceive you. He's going to get in there. You're in desolation. You're going through a tough time. He's going to be suggesting to do certain things that he'll justify saying that's okay. So all of you have to try to get some form of spiritual direction. Amen?
Amen.
And you have to try to get some type of spiritual direction. Okay, I'm kind of reading your minds now, and I'm not a mind reader. A lot of you are thinking, how, where, when, what's the way to do it? Okay, is that your what you're thinking about?
Yes.
I'm a mind reader, huh? Okay. Let me give you various options. Okay, well, I think what all of you are thinking about is this. Well, I want a spiritual director. Therefore, I wanted to be a priest. And that's, I think most people that crosses your mind. Why? Because we've got holy orders. Wow. Know what that is? Lay person prays the rosary, people get up. If I stay there, the people are nailed to their kneeling bench. I see it, no? Unless they really have to go. Priest is there, there's a certain power in holy orders. If we live it out, there's power. And it's scary. There's power. If 10 men were standing here, and I was dressed like Felipe, okay, and there was a possessed man there, they would know which one is a priest. Even though I were dressed like a layperson. They pick it up. That's called holy orders. Holy orders, there's power in it. Which is kind of scary. There's power. As well as our education. None of you have a degree in theology except yours truly, right? So you want that too. And pastoral experience is helpful too. But it's hard because we as priests, especially in LA, other places too, we are overwhelmed with work. And as my mom would say, I'm not complaining, I'm just explaining, okay? Okay. That's one of Mrs. Broom's one-liners. I'm not complaining, I'm just explaining, no? So it's difficult to get a priest because priests, especially in your parish, we are overwhelmed. Well, that's a good word. We're just overwhelmed with work. As I said in one of my homilies yesterday, it was basically, I arrived at 7:30 and I left at 8:30 and I never left the church. So basically there for 13 hours. It's great to be a priest. Because you're saving souls. Right, Alan? Because you're saving souls.
No.
What better? What better thing in the world than to be saving souls? You know, you make a discernment, you know, make the discernment that you can save as many souls as possible. You're discerning because the married life is great, but you know, you got to tend to your five kids, no? But when, or for us, it's nine, okay? But if you're a priest, the sky is the limits, okay? That's why we do not denounce our paternity, but we sublimate it. We become spiritual fathers. We don't denounce it, but we sublimate it. You know what that means? It's transcended, transcends beyond the mere material of the natural. So, try to get a spiritual director. I give people the option if they like it. I mean, if it's feasible. If you were to choose me as your confessor, you can kill two birds with one stone. You can go to confession, and then spiritual direction afterward. I mean, that would be, but the spirit, but it's all done. It's all done in 7 minutes, no? Confess in 2 minutes, and then the spiritual direction in 5 minutes. And then, as you notice, as soon as you get up, you got, you know, 15 people waiting behind you, looking at you if you spend more than 7 minutes, right? Kind of glaring at you, right? You know what means a glare?
No.
You know what that means? A glare is not to smile, okay? But that can work, but it depends upon the temperament. There are some people that tend to be somewhat verbose. Do you know what that means? Is that it takes them 7 minutes just to warm up. Okay, they haven't really said anything. They kind of warm up to it. No, but other people kind of like the German blood, and they're to the point. Okay, so that could be an option. But I'll give you something that's probably better. We have here, in the parish, we have lay spiritual directors. Amen?
Amen.
We have lay spiritual directors. And these people, these lay spiritual directors have been chosen. They've gone through an arduous, long preparation time, usually 3 to 4 years, right, Eric and Mary? Okay, 3 to 4 years where they're going to some of the best programs in the country. They've got to do a lot of reading, right? They've got to do a lot of reading and practicums and under our supervision. And for example, they had to do annotation 19. I took Eric for about 9 months to a year, going through the annotation 19. So these directors, they're highly qualified, and they're under the direction of the priest too. So in a certain sense, they're kind of an extension of us. But one of the reasons why I don't dedicate time to spiritual direction is I discern. And you okay, you're my director. You correct me if I'm wrong now, okay? Are you listening?
Yes.
Okay, if I'm spending a lot of time in spiritual direction, who's going to be in the confessional? Okay, can Mary, Annette, and Eric, can they spiritually direct? Yes, they can. Can they hear confessions?
No.
Mary, can you hear confessions? Annette, can you? Eric, can you hear confessions? You could hear, but it's going to be invalid, okay? You could put the stole on. I say, who stole my stole? Okay. Who stole my stole? So, you know, they could be 1,000 times more holy than I am, but they don't have the power. You know, you have to have all the orders. You have to be delegated, and the Also, you have to have faculties from the diocese to be able to hear confessions, no? So my discernment is, I feel God wants me to preach a lot because faith comes through hearing, right? But also, God wants me to spend a lot of time there in the confessional because only the priest can hear confessions. Is that a good discernment?
Yes.
Okay. That's my discernment. It's great to direct, but only the priest can give absolution. Right, Alan?
Right.
See, Padre? Right, Peter? Isn't that true? Yeah. Yeah. So I would invite all of you before the end of this meeting, if you want spiritual direction, Mary will have, Eric has a sheet, sign your name, and we will assign a director. We'll assign you with a director.
Thank you.
Okay. What's that?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Please take it seriously. No?
Yes, Father.
Sometimes I'm sad. I make the invitation. Very few people respond to it. And I'm just saying, okay, welcome to mediocrity. Yep. Yeah. In Argentina, ni fu, ni fa, ni chicha, ni limonada. No?
Ay, ay,
ay. This is Los Argentinos. Yeah, welcome to mediocrity, no? You're not going to, you know, you have fire for maybe 3 or 4 months, and then let's just go back to normal, no? And your relatives will say, you know, just be normal. You know, just be normal. You're kind of crazy. You are a fanatic. Just be normal. Calm down. Getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning? No. Going to Mass every day? Come on. Praying a rosary? Praying 2 rosaries a day? What's wrong with you? Now you're going to go on a 4-day retreat? I'm going to call the loony asylum. You're crazy. Chiflado, loco. You are. That's what you're going to hear, right? Because if you do it, you know, because if you take spiritual direction seriously, if you take it seriously, you have to grow. If you take it seriously. If you don't, I mean, and one of the things that the directors will tell me is what you have to do in spiritual direction. One of the basic requirements, you have to do the holy hour. Right, Eric?
Yes.
Mary? Annette?
Yes.
You got to do the holy hour. Otherwise, one of the directors told me this, it never occurred to me, so obvious though. If you don't do the holy hour, you're just going to come in and talk about your problems, right? Right, Eric? Yeah, okay, you talk about your problems. Go seek a shrink to do that, okay? But if you're doing your holy hour, you're going to be talking about your relationship with God. When I go to my spiritual director once a month in L.A., we pray together, and right away I talk about my prayer life. Right away. Talk about my prayer life. Almost without thinking. This is what's going on in my prayer life. These are my temptations. This is my desolation. This is what I'm meditating upon. This is what happened. Consolation, desolation. This is how I'm moving. This is what I'm reading. And he listens, and then he listens. Okay, yep. Yeah. Head on that direction, I would suggest this, I would suggest that. And I'm really trying to grow in my prayer life. Am I? I don't know. I hope so. Pray for me, no? But that spiritual direction, I take it seriously. But I talk about my prayer life. And then maybe some pastoral concerns I have, what's going on in the exercises. But the pastoral stuff comes after my prayer experience. First is my relationship with God. Then my relationship with people. Amen? My relationship with God, that's important. If I have a really deep relationship with Christ, I'm going to be starting fires. Okay? I'm starting fires. It may be big ones, no? But if my relationship with Christ is weak, I could be the most eloquent, intelligent person in the world. I'm just going to be starting ashes. Yep. T.S. Eliot, the wasteland. I'm going to be part of T.S. Eliot's wasteland. Because there you go to spiritual direction. Your director is going to say, how's your holy hour? How's your prayer life? Well, I didn't do it. Why? Because I'm lazy. Accountability, right? And anyone who has common sense, that's very embarrassing, right? You go to the spiritual director, how's your holy hour going? Well, I haven't done it in the past month. Well, we'll give you another month, otherwise, no jump in the lake. You know? The purpose is, how is your prayer life going? Amen?
Amen.
You know, prayer life is the most beautiful thing, but it's very challenging. Right?
Yeah.
It's challenging, but isn't it worth it?
Yeah.
Isn't it worth the effort?
Yeah.
If you people, the whole 10 weeks, you're floundering, you're falling down, you're getting up, you're trying, these are still the best 10 weeks in your life. As long as you're trying, okay? As long as there's goodwill. If there's goodwill, you're on the right path. But if there's laziness and bad will, you gotta, you know, examine your conscience. Why is that your state of soul? Why is it? That's a bad spirit that's dominating you. Okay? Right? Yeah, you got the good spirit, you got the bad spirit, right? We have to be honest. No? Amen or oh me?
Amen.
All right. So those are suggestions so that you will persevere. You will persevere. And you know what? I'm raising the bar high. Or do you want me to lower it?
No.
Let's keep it high. Keep it high. Keep striving to become a saint. That's what God wants. Keep striving to become a saint. All right, so your contemplations this week are going to be the Easter contemplations. So this is a very, very beautiful, very joyful, very peaceful, very victorious week because you're going to be meditating upon the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So you had a very challenging week last week, meditating upon the passion of Christ, begging for the grace to suffer with Christ, begging for that grace. But this week, we experience the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord is truly risen. Alleluia. The grace that we're going to be begging for this week, it's a very different grace. Last week, to be able to suffer with Christ, carry the cross, somewhat difficult, huh? Whereas this week, we're going to be begging for, I'll say it in the language of St. Ignatius, begging for intensissimo gozo. Intensissimo gozo. Intensissimo gozo. How do you say that in Vietnamese? Intensissimo means most intense joy. Most intense joy. Okay? If you know your English grammar well, it's called the superlative, okay? It's called the superlative if you know your English well, okay? Good, better, best, okay? Isimo in Spanish is the superlative. In English, it would be the most, okay? Okay? Be the most. You're begging for the most intense joy. So not a few drops of joy, but an ocean of joy. Got that, Alan? Si, Padre. Okay. Okay. So not just a few drops, but an ocean of joy. You like that?
Yeah.
I thought you liked that. Okay? I don't know, a few drops. but an ocean of joy. But where does the joy come from? The joy comes not from things, not from the creature, but from God Himself. That joy has to come from God. More and more as I'm giving a lot of talks in different places and different parishes, what's occurred to me the past couple of years is a statement from Thomas Aquinas. He's written on everything, but it's called The Universal Call to Joy. The Universal Call to Happiness. You think everyone wants to be happy?
Yes.
You think everyone wants to be happy, right?
Yes.
You want to be joyful? There's one day of the week when you get up, I want to be sad on Wednesday. Cari Vinagre. No, every 24/7 we want to be joyful. Then why is it, the next question is, why is it that everyone wants to be joy? Why is it that you see many people that are joyless? They don't have joy. Did I tell you the story of the Baptist minister preaching? Didn't he have he's preaching on to his congregation. You know, they Baptists, they can't drink. We as Catholics can drink with moderation. And he said, are you ready? If I had all the beer in the world, I'd throw it in the river. And they said, all the whiskey in the world, I'd throw it in the river. Had all the wine in the world, I'd throw it in the river. So he sits down, and the choir master gets up and says, for our closing hymn, we'll sing, Let Us Go to the River Joyfully. So, if the reason why there's a lack of joy is because you're looking for joy in the wrong place. I repeat, you're looking for joy in the wrong place. Money can buy you pleasure, but not joy. The Beatles used to say, money can't buy me love, huh? The money can't buy me love, yeah, true. But money cannot buy you joy. It can buy you pleasure. You can buy a whiskey. You can go to Las Vegas. You know, you can eat a pizza, huh? You can buy pizza. You can buy Filipino's egg rolls and, you know, put sauce on them. You can buy pleasure, but you cannot buy joy. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul wrote many letters. St. Paul, one of his letters, he wrote a letter to the Filipinos. Right, Peter? St. Lord, his letter to the Filipinos, right? Right? Weren't you reading in Latin? Reading that last night? No, it's the Philippians, right? I mispronounced that one. Okay, it was a verbal gaffe, okay? You're going to find it in your Bible, okay? Okay, so Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice in the Lord. You like that one? Rejoice in the Lord, I say it again, rejoice in the Lord. So the joy comes from the Lord. As a teacher, I like to use acronyms or acrostics. J-O-Y, Jesus Others You. Amen? Yeah. Like that? joy. Jesus, others, you. Got that? Put Jesus first, others second, and you last, joy. Got it?
And freedom, too.
Does Mary teach us joy?
Yes.
You ever pray the Magnificat?
Yes.
My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit
rejoices
in what? Ah, there you have it. Rejoices in God, my Savior. So true joy comes in God, my Savior. Amen?
Amen.
So you're going to be begging for joy. And if you don't have joy, you have to stop and examine your conscience. Why do I not experience joy? Actions have consequences, right? There's some reason why. So you should be begging for the grace to experience joy constantly. It's not going to be perfect, but if you're really living the Christian life to the full, you should be experiencing a quiet peace and joy constantly. Not perfectly, but constantly. And if there's a snag where you don't, stop and ask yourself why. It probably is sin, giving into some type of sin. Okay, get the sin out of your life and then move back to the joy. Joy in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so here's your contemplation. Do you have your walking boots on?
Yes.
You have your walking boots on?
Yes,
Mom. So you like to walk 7 miles with me?
No.
You're kind of tired. Okay. It's Easter. The first apparition of Jesus Christ is to Mama Mary. Early in the morning. If you're a Protestant, say, well, Father, that's not in the Bible. No? Okay, I heard you. We're not Protestants, we're Catholics, right? He first appeared to Mary. Of course he did. He's not in the Bible. Of course he appeared to his Blessed Mother first. St. Ignatius says, you have no common sense. Come on. He's not going to leave his mother out. She suffered most. She's the one that rejoiced most. This is going to be your first meditation. Then he appears to Mary Magdalene, right? Then at night, he's going to appear to the apostles in the upper room. Shalom. Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they're going to be forgiven. Whose sins you hold bound, they will be held bound. That's going to be at night. But in between the morning and the night, how about 3 o'clock? About 3 o'clock, mid-afternoon, the two guys taking a walk.
Oh, yes.
What's that? The two guys, they're taking a walk. And they are sad. They're depressed. They're discouraged. They're disgruntled. Life doesn't seem to have meaning. They're disoriented. A cloud of desolation has descended upon them. And they're walking away from the church. As many today, right? The church is in Jerusalem. They're walking away. And they're kind of dragging their feet. And they're quarreling among themselves about what had happened the past couple of days. They're basically quarreling on what happened to Jesus, but they're confused. And as they're walking, all of a sudden this man comes and starts to walk next to him. This stranger, this pilgrim, this incognito, this anonymous individual starts to walk side by side with them. And he catches up to them. He said, what are you talking about? Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about Jesus of Nazareth? Well, what things? As if he didn't know. And then they go and they dig deep within their hearts and they bring out their desolation and they're just pouring their hearts out to this stranger. Who is this stranger?
Jesus.
They're just pouring their hearts out to they're pouring their hearts out to him. You should be doing the same. Amen?
Amen.
You got to do the same. Just unload, pour your hearts out to Christ. And they are just They're just opening up. Not inhibited at all. They're opening up. They're telling him everything that's on their mind. And he's listening. They never met a better listener than this man. This stranger, never did they ever meet anyone who's a better listener than this man. After they have just unloaded, then what happens is then he intervenes and he starts to talk. And they think, wow, never have we met anyone that's a better listener than this man. We never met anyone that could speak better than this man. Not only is he a good listener, but he's a great speaker. And he explains to them everything that referred to Jesus Christ. His passion, death, resurrection, Psalm 22, the prophecies, Isaiah, the suffering servant. And they're all ears. Wow. This guy really knows the Bible. he really knows the Bible. Well, never met anyone who knew the Bible but this man, the stranger. And what has happened is their desolation has turned into consolation. By walking with this man, by listening to this man, by enjoying his presence, so they've gone from desolation to consolation by encountering this man on the road, who totally changed their lives. And they're so filled with joy that when they start walking, they're kind of walking like this. Now they're walking like this. Even their bodily posture has changed. And time is flying. They've arrived at their destination, and it looks like this stranger's got an appointment down the road. You got to meet someone down the road. Okay? So he's walking, and they say, hey, stay with us. Stay with us because the sun is going down. Beautiful prayer. That should be your prayer every afternoon. Stay with us. Stay with us as the sun goes down. Quédate con nosotros, Señor, porque ya anochece. Stay with us, Lord. Stay with us, Lord, as the sun is going down. So they invite him to go into that little house. Does he accept the invitation? He said, no, I'm too busy now. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow. He accepts the invitation. Then they sit down. They sit down at the table. Try to imagine it. It's a very small house. I try to imagine there's four chairs there. Probably have to knock the dust off the chairs, you know. The table has got some dust on it. They're cleaning it off. But there in the middle of the table is there's bread. And there's a little bit of wine, too. There's bread and wine. And the man sits down, and they've actually fallen in love with this man. They never saw him before, but he's so lovable, he's so kind, he's such a great listener, he's such a good speaker, he's so humble, he's so compassionate. They really love this man. They want him to be their best friend. So he sits down, and what he does, four verbs in the present tense. He takes bread. You skipped a verb. He takes the bread, blesses the bread, and he breaks the bread in the fourth. Charades. Charades. I used to play charades when I was a kid. Ever play charades? Charades. Charades, huh? Okay. He takes the bread. Blesses the bread. Breaks the bread in. And he gives it. Okay, I'll repeat. The present continuous tense, okay? He takes the bread, right? Blesses it. It's important to bless that bread, right? He takes the bread. Blesses the bread, breaks the bread, and then gives the bread. In that moment, they said, it's Jesus. And he disappears. In that moment, they recognized that stranger was Jesus Christ, and they didn't recognize him right away. then it disappears from your presence. Have you ever heard those words before?
Yeah.
Take, break, take, bless, break, and give. You ever hear those words?
Yes.
Never heard that? Not yet? I've been saying them every day the past 33 years of my life. You know what that is? Felipe, that's the Mass. Right? That's the Mass. That was the second Mass. Second Catholic Mass. The second. When was the first? Second Mass. We're celebrating the Mass, Jesus Christ, right? And already, Good Friday's passed, right? What is the Mass? It's a celebration of the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's the Mass. Every Mass you celebrate the Paschal Mystery. Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So they recognize Him in the breaking of the bread, and then He disappears. But does He really disappear?
No.
Does He really leave them?
No.
Okay, what? Holy Spirit is present, that's true. But Jesus Christ, Jesus, in His risen body, He's left, but in His Eucharistic presence, He stays. Is He close to us now?
Yes.
Not far away, is He?
No.
And Jesus said, "Behold, heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away, and I will be with you always until the end of time." Then He goes up into heaven. Seems to be contradictory. Where is He? In the mystical body of the Christ, the Church. Especially in the sacraments. So He's present in the sacraments with us always until the end of time. And then what happens to the apostles? I think you know what they did. Boy, I'm tired. Let's have a big meal. Let's go to bed, huh? Did they do that?
No.
Filled with joy, they get up and they wheel it back to Jerusalem. They're really moving fast. They're filled with consolation. And they arrive back in Jerusalem and they say, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" Hearts burning within us as He explained the Word of God to us and He opened up scriptures to us. Were our hearts not burning within us as He opened up Scripture to us? This is the whole meaning of this program. This meditation summarizes why you've been here for 10 weeks. It's this. If, like the two, you're walking without Jesus, you will be living in desolation. You will. I repeat. If you are walking through life without Jesus, your companion is going to be Mr. Desolation.
Yep.
I repeat again. If you're walking through life, through the dark valley, without the Lord, you're going to be walking with Mr. Desolation all the way to the tomb. But if you walk with Christ, you talk to Christ. You listen to Christ. You invite Christ. Stay with us because the Son is going. You invite Christ. You sit down with Christ. And you receive Christ in the depths of your heart. Then you will experience joy all the days of your life. And you will enjoy the fullness of the resurrection in heaven, where all of you are destined for all eternity. Amen.
Amen.
So I'd like to do, at the very end, I'd like all of our facilitators, if they could please stand. And let's give them an applause for their work. I would like also to thank you for your presence, and I have to help Father Tim now in the Spanish retreat. And I'd like to give you my priestly blessing, if that's okay with you.
Yes.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, and I'll pray for you that you all become great saints, okay?
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you too. God bless you.